Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Blocking and tackling. If you do those, you win. If you don't, you lose. Welcome in the beginning of another week of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we are another brick in the wall, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR. Emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the North Woods. And our lead this hour coming from the land of crab cakes, it was Sunday night, a Donnybrook between a couple of AFC heavyweights, the Ravens, coming off a loss in their opener, trying to square up their books against the Chiefs, who hadn't lost a game in the opening month in seemingly forever, a matchup that featured, right above the marquee, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. You know it was big because Al Michaels was in the booth. Good old Al at the microphone. So did you watch? Did you check it out? Did you finish the full football Sunday by watching? Maybe you had other things going on. You missed it, perhaps. Don't worry. We watched, so you would not have to. It's our mitzvah. The drought is over. Lamar Jackson solving the riddle, beating Patrick Mahomes with some help, using his legs to run for 107 yards and score a couple times, including a pirouette, a flip into the end zone for what turned out to be the winning score in Baltimore. Getting past Kansas City by one stinking point, 36-35. Lamar Jackson had played against Patrick Mahomes three times, and each one of those games had ended with an L, and he had not played well in any of those games. And this is the first time for Mahomes that he's lost a game in the month of September. In the first 11, were all wins. So this is the 12th game. He's 11-1. In the month of September. The better story, though, is in the losing locker room, and that is on the Kansas City side of things here. And so let us discuss a heartburn-inducing performance by the Chiefs defense. So how concerned should Andy Reid be about the Chiefs defense in this loss? So my take, you've got cookie dough, brainstorm, and glitch. And we will line all of these things up, and we will knock them down, and we'll lead off with this. The Chiefs, the old bugaboo, pop back up. The seemingly inability to make a routine tackle. The Ravens did not go to some exotic set of plays. They didn't. This was a rudimentary, elementary offense. It's pretty bad when I am sitting on my ass watching the game and I have a pretty good idea of what the Ravens are going to run on offense. I'm not standing there at middle linebacker. I'm sitting on my ass getting hemorrhoids, and yet I know what they're going to run. Didn't exactly diversify the playbook. The Ravens ran 68 offensive plays, and Lamar Jackson was either throwing or running on 42 of the 68 plays. He is the Ravens. He's the entire offense for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson goes on a rampage, and KC defenders standing there dazed and confused in the second half of this game. It was a horrific display of defensive football. It reminds you of that Chiefs team that got to the Super Bowl that first time with Mahomes when they had a horrible defense, and they were able to make up for that against the 49ers, made some plays and ended up winning. But this was cookie dough soft is the way you would describe that defense. No, I love cookie dough, and most people do. Most people love eating cookie dough. But when your defense is the consistency of the cookie dough, we got a problem. But Lamar Jackson tore up the pee patch. He did. And the Chiefs on defense there, they were just along for the ride. The number of yards that Baltimore put up, 481 yards of offense. They almost put a 500 spot on the board. They were 19 yards away. Didn't go to overtime. 481 yards of offense, 31 first downs. Held the ball for almost 36 minutes on the clock. The Chiefs, El Stinkaroo for Andy Reid. And it does become a problem because you start looking down the line. You're like, well, you're going to most likely run into a team such as Baltimore again down the line. And the Ravens ran for 251 yards. They averaged over 6 yards per attempt. This was death by self-asphyxiation. It was brutal. Like, Kansas City had one sack and one quarterback hit. So one sack, one quarterback hit as a team. A palooza, a putrid palooza out on the field. Now, furthermore, to compound problems for Andy Reid, even with the defense being gouged right in the eyes, right in front of you on the ground, if you saw the game, you know what I'm talking about here. The Chiefs still had the game in their hand. It was their game to win. Even as bad as their defense was, down by one, Kansas City had the ball in Baltimore territory. They had all of their timeouts. They were running the clock down, positioning the ball where they wanted it on the field for the game-winning field goal attempt. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's the one wearing the dunce cap here, as he coughed up the pigskin at the Raven 34-yard line with a minute 26 left. So already in field goal range, they were just getting some extra yards to make it an easier field goal attempt. And at that point, as the Ravens took possession of the ball, it turned out to be good afternoon, good evening, and good night. There was a fourth down conversion that was the final nail in the coffin. And so here's the rub. Going forward, you have to question if the Chiefs can trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Dynamic, fun, scat back, all over the place, playmaker. But that is an egregious act by Edwards-Helaire there. And Andy Reid is going to have to brainstorm. That's a big brain for Andy. He's going to have to brainstorm how he wants to proceed. Edwards-Helaire has to regain his status in the bubble of trust for the Chiefs. There are other options. They're not as exciting. Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon, who've been around, are the other options for Andy Reid at this particular point. But that is a gut punch for the Chiefs to have that game as bad as your defense played. You couldn't stop the Ravens running game, and you still had the ball possession. You were right there to win the game. All right, lastly. So Patrick Mahomes also has to take a big slice of the blame pie when you break down this particular Sunday night game, because it was Mahomes who makes all these highlight reel plays for Kansas City. Everyone goes gaga for Patrick Mahomes. And I do too, right? Video game cheat moves. Like, you got the cheat code, how to work around defensive players. And he does everything that you're not supposed to do. Everything when I was growing up, they told quarterbacks not to do, Mahomes does. And most of the time it works out all right. But there's an old saying, live by the sword, die by the sword. And on this particular night, Patrick Mahomes had a glitch. And although the Chiefs still had an opportunity to win the game, that glitch was the one that opened things up, right? His final pass attempt, you know where I'm going with this, final pass attempt of the third quarter was a reckless play. He was trying to force the issue, force a pass over the middle to Travis Kelce, and he was getting pressured. The pass was picked off, and that opened up the door. And the Ravens, to their credit, they took a battering ram right down the throat of KC. And at that moment, the Chiefs were leading when Mahomes made the egregious mistake on his part. They had an 11-point lead at the time, and it was malfeasance by Patrick Mahomes. And he actually got outplayed in this game in the second half by Lamar Jackson. Mahomes wasn't terrible. The interception was ghastly, but Patrick Mahomes rarely gets outplayed by anybody, but Lamar Jackson, stunningly, was the better quarterback when you combine running and passing. He had a passing touchdown, two rushing touchdowns, and a passer rating. Didn't throw that much in the second half, Mahomes, but a passer rating of 155.7. So that is a massive confidence booster for Baltimore. But my goodness, for the Chiefs, you got the running back mistake, Mahomes with the screw up at the end. The defense was terrible, coming apart at the seams. For the Ravens, though, they get even more good news because they get a bye next week. You say, well, there's nobody has a bye. It's only going to be week three of the season. Well, the Ravens play at Detroit on Sunday. That is a show up, make sure Lamar Jackson's healthy, win the game situation, and collect the victory and go back on to your next game. Now, meanwhile, Kansas City, they're in an awkward position because they have a divisional game. Now, it is at Arrowhead, and they host the Los Angeles Chargers of Inglewood on Sunday. And the Chargers coming off a loss to the Cowboys, which was like an extra home game for Dallas, looking at all the Cowboy paraphernalia. The Cowboy fans, loud and proud. I'm sure we'll get several calls from Cowboy Jim, Cowboy Bob, Cowboy Steve, Cowboy Matt, all of them gloating because they won. But the Chargers, who won the opener in Washington, now they lost. So that's a big week three game with 1-1 Chargers, 1-1 Chiefs on the docket. Life comes at you fast. It is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here. We'll take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox. If you'd like to be part, 877-996-6369. Here is Andy Reid commenting, the head coach of your Kansas City Chiefs, on pointing out this is a time-tested Andy Reid soundbite. You go back to his days in Philadelphia, and he talks about how certain people have to make plays.
It's a team effort. When you have the opportunities to tackle, you got to tackle. And I didn't think we did very well with that the first half in particular. Gave up a lot of yards there. So you got guys in position. You got to make the tackle. You got to make the play.
Yes. It's very generic. Here's more from Andy Reid, and this is another one of those boilerplate responses. By Andy's been doing this for so long, you know when the team wins what he's going to say, and when the team loses, you know what Andy Reid's going to say. He hasn't lost that much in Mizzou, but here is Andy Reid talking about the educational aspects of a loss.
You have the ball driving down that last series, what should have been the last series, and we fumbled. So we knew that they're a good run team. So the guys pushed through, and we had ourselves in a position where we could win the game and didn't win it. So we've got to learn from all of this and do better.
Yeah. The lesson is don't fumble the ball, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Don't fumble the ball. Of course, you could argue, even if he doesn't fumble, you know, the way the kicking's gone in the NFL, the Chiefs kicker could have come out and shanked it. But anyway, all right, now I referenced the Patrick Mahomes mistake. And Mahomes made the decision you can't make at the time you can't make it here, and he owned it. He owned it following the defeat.
I should have just thrown it to D-Rob in the flat. I saw D-Rob in the flat, and then I saw Trev come back to me. The dude grabbed my leg. I thought I could kind of get my other leg down. He kind of spun me, and it's a dumb interception. I mean, it's probably one of the worst interceptions I've probably ever had.
Dum-da-dum-dum-dum!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Remember the Titans. Remember them. The Seattle Seahawks will not soon forget. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we know a nod is as good as a wink, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from behind the wheel, driving in the fast lane all night. The Fox Sports Radio studios in the Northwoods. And so we begin this hour. Our lead comes from the Pacific Northwest, a mildly important game early in the season as important as a week two game can be, mostly for the Tennessee Titans, as they came out and were a no-show, rolled over and played dead, made the Arizona Cardinals look like a legitimate NFL team. We know they're not, but the Titans just were not ready for the start of the year. So they had an opportunity to get back into the win column for the first time here in 2021. They visited What had been a pit of vipers with fans in attendance in the Pacific Northwest, fans were back for the first time in a long time there to watch the Seahawks because of the COVID restrictions of last year. So first home game, regular season with fans. And the Seahawks trying to start their year 2-0. They got the cupcake week one against the Indianapolis Colts. And all they had to do was take care of the Titans. So that was the setup. Did you watch? Because if you saw the game, you know that this was much more than just a week two matchup. As Derrick Henry, who was bottled up in week one, rumbling and stumbling for 182 yards and not one but two fourth quarter touchdowns. And Randy Bullock, unlike the kicker for the Vikings, who shanked the kick that would have won the game for Minnesota in this game, Randy Bullock connected on a 36-yard field goal midway through the overtime, and the Tennessee Titans, down by 14 points in the second half, they were down by 15 at halftime, they come back and get a three-point win in Seattle, 33-30. It was 30-16 early fourth quarter, and the Titans went turbo-tastic, and they turned the tide coming all the way back. All the way back now, and they end up getting the victory, and there's a lot to this game. Tennessee and Seattle now both 1-1, but the better story is not on the Tennessee side, because when you win, there's a million people around you that want to celebrate you and say how great you are, but when you lose, well, that's when the finger-pointing starts, and that's where the animosity is, and that is on the Seahawks side of the ledger. It is very rare that you will blow a 14-point lead at home. And it's only happened a few times with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Pete Carroll attempting to take the blame for the collapse. Now, let us discuss the question. We'll get to some of the sound in a second, but who gets to wear the dunce cap for the Seahawks? Now, I've got the Three Amigos, which was a good movie back in the day, but you've got Bible, Pedestrian, and Eye Gouging. And we'll tie all of these things together. Now, A, let's start with Russell Wilson, who did not finish the game properly for the Seahawks, and that's on his shoulders. The game actually should have ended earlier as he was in the end zone, should have been a safety, and that would have ended the overtime festivities there on a defensive play by the Titans, but the officials felt pity on Russell Wilson and let him off the hook, and they still ended up losing. And if you look at the box score, the final stat line for Russell Wilson was sexy. It was. But the mistakes at the end of the game, they're cost Seattle dearly. The Seahawks are a one-man band, much like the Baltimore Ravens. We talked about earlier Lamar Jackson and his performance. Well, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, that's it. Everyone knows this. That running game does not intimidate you. It's all about Mr. Unlimited. And at the finish line, he tripped. At the finish line of this game, he tripped. And even though the numbers overall were good, and if you play fantasy football, you're excited because he had a good stat line. But it's kind of like the Bible quote, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. In this case, Russell Wilson giveth and Russell Wilson taketh away, right? For 90% of the game, Russell Wilson was great. But after the Titans had their little coverage malfunction there, which led to a 68-yard pass play for a touchdown, Freddie Swain was as wide open as you could possibly be in a professional football game, and the only thing that could have tackled him was a ghost. But after that, ironically, Russell Wilson was a ghost. The last 10% of this game, if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. He derailed. Now, what is my evidence? You've got both the eyeball test and the stats. Russell Wilson, from that moment he threw that interception that touchdown, rather, at the end of the fourth quarter and overtime, he was 4 of 8 passing for 40 yards, averaged 5 yards attempt, had no touchdowns, no interceptions. 27 of those 40 yards came on the final play as the clock expired on regulation. Russell Wilson also was sacked for a loss of 12 yards in overtime. It was an underwhelming finish for Russell with muscle, who was lacking the muscle there. And so he's got it on. You play great for 90% of the game, but then at the end, you need a couple more plays at the end, at least one more play at the end. You don't have it. And part B of this, now, Russell Wilson, while Russell gets the majority of the blame, as he is the face of the franchise and he is the offense, this was also a humbling day at the office for for the entire Seahawks defense. But the person that has to own that and eat that is Jamal Adams. As the Tennessee Titans took Jamal Adams' lunch money and they pushed him around. This is his first home game since signing that $70 million extension. $38 million guaranteed as a box safety. And behind closed doors, the people in the front office for the Seahawks, they have to be questioning that decision. Like, what are we doing here? Right? Case of buyer's remorse. Tennessee went out there and they flexed. They struck a pose all over that faulty Jamal Adams here, who's played more like a linebacker, a marginal safety. Adams had very pedestrian numbers in this game. He was a non-factor. He had five tackles, no sacks, no quarterback hits, no tackles for loss, no interceptions. Zero impact plays for Jamal Adams. For the guy that got the $38 million guaranteed, he did not live up to his end of the bargain. And the guys from Nashville, when you if you saw the game, you know the offense was insane. 532 yards of offense. Checks his notes. Yes, 532 yards of offense for a Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry offensive juggernaut dominating. Julio Jones, who had a slow start to his Titans career, his first game, came back at a big game here. And the line of scrimmage, football, one in the trenches, blocking and tackling, advantage Titans. Advantage Titans. The Seahawks defenders, they were in a tailspin as the game progressed. Derrick Henry was way too much for the front of that Seattle defense to handle. Tennessee had 33 first downs. They held the ball for over 42 minutes. They had close to a 20-minute time of possession advantage. And the numbers were ridiculous. Four drives, four of them of 10-plus plays. They had six drives of 60-plus yards, the Titans did. This is a manhandle at the line of scrimmage situation. Seattle, you know how many drives they had of 10-plus plays? Zero. Zero. They only had three drives of 60-plus yards, even with all those points they were able to put up. So this is a humiliation situation. All right, last word here. So the final member of the Three Amigos, we've already got Russell Wilson, we've got Jamal Adams, and Pete Carroll. Come on down. You're next. What happened, Pete? My God, you talk about a pathetic performance and a melancholy, Pete. We're going to play some sound in a sec after the game there. And he had every reason to be. While Russell Wilson could have covered up the mess, right, worked as deodorant, and Jamal Adams had opportunities to stop the bleeding on defense, when you take a couple steps back and you realize that Pete Carroll's been in Seattle for a long time, he's a defensive guy, that's how he built his resume as a coach, and he's standing there helpless to slow down the eye gouging by land, by air, by sea. The Tennessee Titans were doing whatever they wanted, and 182 yards rushing for Derrick Henry. That is tied, if that sounds outrageous, that is tied for the most the Seahawks have ever allowed in a game in the Pete Carroll reign as coach. Worst rush defense, tied for the all-time worst in the Pete Carroll era in Seattle. Adrian Peterson, back in 2012, almost a decade ago, had the same number, 182 yards against the Seattle defense. Now, the salt on top of the wound for Pete Carroll, it was a sloppy performance. They had 10 penalties for 100 yards. The Seahawks did. So that is an extra twist of the knife. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. Sloppy Joes. Everyone gets sloppy Joes. Now the Seahawks become the first NFC West team to eat an L. As a result, they are in last place all by themselves in the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks. Now next week, that defense, which was a blooper reel in the second half, they now play the Vikings. Minnesota, they're 0-2. You play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game that if they had a competent kicker, they'd be 1-1. And they failed to take advantage of some shoddy play by Alligator Arms Murray at the end of that game, opening up the door for the Vikings to come back and win it. And then their idiot kicker misses what should be a chip shot field goal for a professional kicker at the end of the game. But the Vikings were able to move the ball against Arizona. And in that, they should be licking their chops, Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, as that Seattle defense is plump for the taking here. And that game has track meet written all over it.
Go Hawks.
Next week.
Go Hawks.
Minnesota's defense sucks also, so that should be whatever the total on that game is. Of course, it's way too early to say this, but you would say bet the over on that because there's very little chance that that game is a defensive struggle because no one can play any defense.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
Yeah, the Seahawks went to bed. Russell Wilson actually ended up going to bed at the end of that game. It was bad. Bad to the bone. All right, let's hear from some of the key participants here. We mentioned Pete Carroll down, upset, in a gloomy mood. And here is Pete pointing out that this is a painful pill to take.
Most difficult loss for us today because of there were so many good things that happened. And it was such a great day at the stadium. The fans were ready and rocking. And, you know, we wanted to reward them with a big win as well. And we did so many good things. And then we really hurt ourselves just too many times when you're playing a good team.
Yes. All right. I think we already summed that up. Pete, how about Russell Wilson? Now, Russell, he's always got some bull crap to say, but he sounds just like Pete Carroll. Here's Russ pointing out that this game just kind of was out of their grasp.
To lose that kind of game, we were up pretty good there in the second half and all that, and you know the game just kind of slipped away from us. We could have played tighter across the board, and you know they got a good football team. You know they've been a playoff team for a while now, and they got some good players. So you got to be sharp. We got to be on our stuff, and we got to make plays. And unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
Unlimited. You got to do it. All right, that's the story in Seattle.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Plenty of time, Koopaloop. Plenty of time.
Ow. over the weekend, Manny Machado confronted Fernando Tatis Jr. after he got called out looking on strikes and argued with the home plate ump. I think it led to the manager getting tossed.
Yeah.
Now, Machado could be seen screaming, "It's not about you." Ben, does it seem like Manny Machado has matured as a player since arriving in San Diego?
No, because if he was matured, he wouldn't have done that. That stuff goes on, but you do it behind closed doors. Listen, the Padres, with all that talent, have been turned inside out the second half of the season. Manny Machado has now added more drama-rama to the mix. We thank him for that, but there's something going on there. For Machado to do this publicly and out to Tatis, and know the camera's always on you, there's something else going on. And secondly, when you look at the forever contract Fernando Tatis Jr. got, I fully expect the Padres to be shopping Manny Machado this offseason. He can be yours if the price is right. He's only got 7 years left on his contract. Next!
Terry Francona hasn't managed a full season for the Indians since 2019 thanks to health problems. Now, the Indians' president said that they are going into 2022 with the assumption that he'll be back as their manager. Ben, do you think the absences have hurt the team at all?
All right, so I went back and I read the quote. This was a very light endorsement, first of all, from the Cleveland brass. The GM tossed out with where we are right now, which is a classic weasel term. Because you won't be there when the season ends. The franchise will be in a different place in a couple weeks when the regular season ends. That allows them to change gears if they so choose. Now, Terry Francona is regarded as one of the top 10 managers in baseball. Some say he's the top 5 manager. He's had all kinds of health problems the last couple years, and it's been problematic. The roster is a 500 roster, and that's where they are, give or take, record-wise. And they're about to become the Guardians. I could totally see them reversing course here and dumping Francona. The injuries are part of baseball. It happens to everybody. Next!
Reggie Bush said on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff this weekend that he thinks Deion Sanders should take over as coach at USC. Ben, what would you set the odds at for this happening?
Well, having known the USC, a few powerful USC alumni over the years, as Randy Jackson would say back in the day on American Idol, that's going to be a no for me, dog. No, not going to happen. USC, they don't want the razzmatazz. Deion Sanders also, he's lined up for the Florida State job. So why would he want the USC job when he can get the Florida State job? The Seminoles fell apart over the weekend. But no, USC is going to get some boring coach. How'd we do, Coop? Quickly!
Ben, you passed this edition.
That's a winner! That's a win! Another win for me! Tweet out my record!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
The Insta Advice Line. Unscreen radio. The safety net comes off. If you ever get a radio show, these are fun jobs to have, but this is for a trained professional. Do not attempt this at home. Unscreened phone calls. We open up the phone lines. There's no middleman between me and you. You're on the air when you hear my voice at 877-99 on Fox. Who needs our advice? We have a lot of people to choose from. We could have gone with the Kansas City Chiefs defense or the Seattle Seahawks defense or any number of quarterbacks who sucked at a time you cannot suck. But I thought the person that needs the advice more than anybody this week is Carson Wentz. The quarterback of the Colts, injured yet again. He hurt his ankle in a tackle by Aaron Donald of the Rams. And he has played a full season just twice in his career. We don't know how bad this injury is. But advice to Carson Wentz on staying healthy. He's got a better offensive line now in Indianapolis. You wouldn't know it from the way that he's played the first couple of games of the season. You're live on the air when you hear my voice. Advice to Carson Wentz of the Colts. Hello, you on line one. You're on the air, line one. Go.
Big Ben Maller, I have two questions.
All right, thank you. Line two, call later. Line two, you're next. Hello, line two.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
All right, line three is next. No time for small talk. Line three, hello. All right, line three is the heavy breathing guy. Let's go to line four. Line four is next. 877-99 on Fox. This is a high volume of call segment. Line four, hello. All right, line four is not there. We'll press on to line five. 877-99 on Fox. We're giving advice to Carson Wentz, the Colts quarterback, injured his ankle. He's been hurt consistently in his brief NFL career. Hello, you're on the air. All right, that guy's not there. This is going well. Let's go to line one. We'll go back to line one. Hello, line one. You are on the air. Number one. Don't let me down, line one. Advice to Carson Wentz.
So put that in your pooper and pop it.
Yeah, well, that's what the guy in Pittsburgh did. Line two. That sounded like Robin Vegas. Line two. Hello, line two.
Man, the Steelers are still going to beat them. Roberto, stick your chest back out. Quit picking it in, man.
All right, that's Sean the Hood guy. Sean the Hood guy giving
some
solid advice.
And pop it.
Yeah. Line three is next. Hello, line three.
Ben, the Bronx is burning. We need Lenny the Crypt Keeper to go dig up George Steinbrenner Sr. Ben,
yes,
they're in trouble.
Yes, it's a baseball take, though. It's, you know, come on, we're talking about Carson Wentz here. Let's go to line five. Line five, I see it ringing. Hello, line five.
Hey, Ben, it's Caleb again. I'm just telling Carson, coach high school football.
All right, thank you for that, Caleb. One call per customer. Line six, hello, line six.
Eddie Garcia just got back from his fifth grade.
All right, that's Blind Scott. Thank you, Blind Scott. We'll do one more and only one more. No happy birthday, Roberto. No, our guy from Boston calling up with it. All right, go ahead, Coop. Hurry up. Pickett.
Line one, come on.
Line
buddy.
One, you're on the air, line one.
Happy birthday, Roberto.
Ah! Yeah! We got it! Happy birthday, Roberto!